Welcome back to the Green Street Hammers YouTube podcast as a new little series that we're trying out. Today I'm joined by Jack. How are you doing, Jack?
I'm good, Henry. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. It's always nice to get asked how I'm doing. Lou, how are you doing? This is your second one of this. Are you enjoying being on screen?
Yeah, it's nice to see your lovely faces again. I can't wait. Just can't wait for the season to start.
Yeah, and Adam, you're back, which is always great to see. How are you doing?
I'm good, brimming with excitement. Can't wait to get the season underway and just rip the Band-Aid off on what should be torturous couple of months coming up.
Great. So that's good to hear everyone's like doing well, or at least until Saturday evening for the people in England. You will have the rest of the day to enjoy, Adam, after whatever happens, but we'll get on to that. So today we're going to start off with some Hammers Polls questions, a bit of a favourite of the Green Street Hammers podcast. For the first one, this is from Spenny_boy_7. He asks, how many signings by the end of the window do you think West Ham made, not including Thomas Souček? So, Jack, I'll come to you first. The options are 0, which is positive, 1, 2, or 3 plus.
I think this is optimistic, 2. Like, it's bad, but I feel like that's probably what the most we'll get, really. I don't think Moyes is going to get backed enough to bring in who he wants, and there's no point panic buying because then it's just going to waste the little money that we have. I don't really know. Lou, I don't know what's happening anymore.
Lou, what about you? What do you think?
You say it's so difficult to call at the minute. I'd probably go with 2, to be honest. I think whether it's Tarkowski or not, I think we'll bring a defender, a centre-back. And, I think we've all been calling for a left-back all summer long now. So if we can get a centre-back and a left-back in, it'll be okay. Ideally, I'd like another attacking player, but those two are the main priority. So I'll go with 2 as well.
Adam, and yourself?
I'm going to say 3 just to try and be optimistic here. I think we'll get a center back, and I think it'll be Tarkowski. I don't know why I think it's just basically like trying to throw everyone a bone here and be like, the board being like, we are trying to get players in. We are trying to get elite players. We are trying to back the managers. I think Tarkowski, I think we'll get another center back / fullback, a versatile player, younger player. I can't remember his name, but the Japanese player in Syria, I think he would be solid. And I think we could see even a left back loan. I think that makes sense. And then also I think a striker loan or a super cheap option for a striker, maybe a couple deadline day deals to get over the line there. But I think 4 is what I'm going to call here. And with at least one of our already existing center backs going out the door.
Yeah, I think I'm actually in agreement with Adam. I think we are going to sign 3 or more players. Like, I feel the board know there's a lot of like tension between themselves and the fans. And I think you're right, we're going to get a center back. Whether it's Tarkowski or not, I don't know. I think everyone's feeling quite confident about it, but I don't know why, because it's a whole bunch of rumors whether or not he wants to actually move away from Burnley or not. But I think we will actually get a left and right back. I think we'll get at least that. I think it will happen. Whether or not there are improvements on what we have at the moment remains to be seen. And I do think we will get an attacker because David Sullivan just loves signing a rogue attacker to try sell season tickets one way or another. Whether or not it's some unknown from Argentina that's not been like sort of released to the media and to the public yet, it remains to be seen. But I do actually think we will make signings. It's just whether or not they're the right ones, of course. And you'd never really know if they're the right ones until a few months after they've signed. Like Haller, everyone thought was the right signing. And then after the first month, everyone was like, yeah, he is. And then his form dropped off. So I do think we'll make signings. Whether or not they're the right ones, that's what remains to be seen. So this is a bit of a Green Street Hammers first, where we're a bit of a pickle of what to go for as our
decision.
Yeah, as the host, I'm going to take the reins of this one. I'm going to say we're going to sign 3 or more players. I hope you guys are all right with that. Don't shoot me.
That's fine.
We are way off. So 3 or more was 4.5% of the vote. Two was 19.1% of the vote, and one was 34% of the vote, with the majority of the vote going to zero new signings, 42.4%. So that is a optimistic outlook. So for the next one, a bit of a preview for the Newcastle-West Ham game. The question is, who's the better manager, David Moyes or Steve Bruce? Adam, I'll come to you first.
I voted on this one, and I voted David Moyes. I don't know why I voted that. I think it's two managers that teams don't want their team, or that supporters don't want their team to have. And I'm a West Ham supporter, so I guess I'll just try and support David Moyes here. But both of them are not new and exciting. Both of them are not, the next best thing. Both of them are not going to attract top talent because they want to come play under either of these guys. I think it's a coin flip, but I'll take David Moyes because he's a hammer.
Mm. And Lou, what about you?
I mean, over the course of the career, I don't think anyone could argue against Moyes over Bruce, based on what he achieved with a limited budget at Everton. And, Bruce has been club hopping a bit for years, but they're both, like Adam says, they're both a bit, I think, out of date, might be a, is that harsh? I don't know. But I think looking at Bruce from the outside, Newcastle fans, despite them having a decent season last season and then probably in most fans' eyes overachieving, they still, I just don't think he could do anything for them to warm to him. Whereas I think over the past few months, West Ham fans are starting to warm to Moyes a little bit more than when he first took over. In a way, I think we feel a bit sorry for him and we're willing to back him. But I'd personally rather have Moyes in charge. I think he's proved more over his career than Bruce has done. And I think it's quite close nowadays anyway.
And Jack, who do you think?
Have to agree. I think Moyes is probably by far better out of both of them. I don't think Steve Bruce is a great manager at all, really. And I'd say, as Lou said, that Moyes is he's proved himself more with like a smaller budget and taking Everton as high as they were. And he's definitely got the potential to do it with us, really. It's just whether or not he gets backed or not. But obviously he hasn't been backed this summer, so yeah.
Of course. I mean, I think for me, I'd probably say Moyes as well, like, not for where he got Everton too, but the fact he was like the chosen one to replace Alex Ferguson at United, even though Steve Bruce is the ex-United legend and was a manager, they wanted Moyes instead because Ferguson saw the potential in Moyes. And I agree, like, Moyes has never really been backed. Even at United, he wasn't really given the finances that everyone else has seemed to be able to dip into since they've replaced him. And I do think there is potential with Moyes at West Ham, but it's just not sort of happening with the current ownership as it is at the moment because no money is being spent. Obviously, I know we've bought Souček, but it's not full backing him because he came in with this idea of the Red Bull project and model. And even though Tarkowski's a promising player, he doesn't fit what the plan was. Like, 27, great player, but he's not that young, hungry from a lower division or even still the Premier League, but from a club that coming to West Ham wanting to prove himself. And Tarkowski's already done that. Like, he would be a great signing for West Ham, I'm sure. But he's going to be 30 to 40 million pounds at this rate, going up every day, it seems. So he's not really being backed, and it's just sort of going back into that old scattergun approach at the moment rather than that sort of philosophy. But in terms of the football, I think they're both very similar sort of styles. I think they both get positives out of different players. I'd have hoped David Moyes would be able to get what Bruce got out of Almirion with Felipe Anderson, which hasn't happened yet, but he's still able to get it out of the players like Arnautovic when he was there the first time, and he's getting out of Antonio at the moment. So I think I'll agree with the consensus and go with David Moyes. And we are in the majority. 65.1% of people say David Moyes is the better manager.
That's the most he's been backed in 2 years.
Absolutely. Hopefully the board take notice. And this is a question from Hammers Fan 02380. If Gold, Sullivan and Brady sell the club, but the last thing they do before they leave is set... I don't really know what the... Sorry, I've read that and it's not really a question.
Gold and Sullivan... basically like, would you be happy if Sullivan, Gold and Brady left but sold Rice?
Yeah. Would you be happy if Gold and Sullivan sold the club, but the last thing they did was sell Declan Rice on a free? Would you be happy with that? I'll come to Lewis first.
That's such a hypothetical question because it just would never happen. But, wow. I think for the greater good of the club, yes. But losing Declan Rice on free would be pretty heartbreaking. So, begrudgingly, yes. But it's such a weird question to answer here.
Yeah, Jack, would you rather keep them in charge and Rice stay or sold for what he's worth? Or let Declan go, sacrifice him for, as Lou put it, the greater good of the club?
Yeah, Lou took the words out of my mouth. Like, for the greater good, you'd have to sacrifice him for that. Obviously, yeah, it would break your heart to see it happen. But sorry, Declan, off you go.
And Adam, what about you?
I think they're going to sell Declan anyways, and I think they're also going to sell anyways. So I will go against the grain here and say either keep them and keep Sullivan and Gold for the near future, or if they sell them for $80 million and they also leave, I'm okay with that because, like you guys said, greater good of the club, get those three out of it.
Yeah, I think I've got to agree with the, as in Hot Fuzz would say, the greater good with my appalling Somerset accent. But I think it is probably more important to have a new beginning for the club under a new exciting ownership. And the majority of people said they would let Declan Rice leave on a free, 51%. So very close, but it's quite a, for what Declan Rice does for us West Ham fans, it's quite a sad state that we didn't let him go for free in order to see that change happen at the club. So yeah, it's a very odd one to sort of make of that. Very, as Lou said, very hypothetical, and I don't think it's likely to happen. Now, this is a question from Green Street Hammer's favourite, Tony Pearson 2. For current transfer rumours at the moment, who would you take if you had to choose? So, the Lazio left-back, Jordan Lukaku, Gerard Deulofeu from Watford, Johnny Evans from Leicester, or Fernando Llorente, the former Tottenham striker, I think is about 35 years old. Jack, I'll come to you first.
It's between Deulofeu and Lukaku because those are obviously positions that we need. So was it if we can only sign one of them?
Yeah.
It'd have to be Lukaku, wouldn't it, really? Because we desperately need a left back. I can't stand the thought of us going into the season with Cresswell again. I can't bear it. It has to be Lukaku for me, really. Deulofeu would be great as well. Good Dean Garner replacement if we could do that. But out of those options, you've got to go Lukaku, I think.
Yeah. Adam, what about you?
I got the same split because both are needs, right? So I think I would go Deulofeu because he can play striker too. Like he played in the dual striker system. So I think that could work. He's quick and shifty and shoots the ball. So he could be a good foil for Haller. But as far as Lukaku is concerned, I've been reading. I haven't watched him play much or at all outside of some highlights. And I think he's of the Mazuaku mold more so. And he's very attacking, gets forward. I think he's played left wing as well. So I'll go for the striker winger and hope that we get in someone that can defend better. Because going forward right now, Mazuaku's fine.
Yeah. And Lou, what about you?
Yeah, I just looked it up online and I thought Lukaku was a lot older. He's only 26, but feels like he's been around forever in my head for some reason.
I think we've been linked with him for about the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's probably why. Yeah, I watched him a little bit when he first joined Lazio and I think his problem was defending, so more so than going forward, which obviously is a problem we already have. But I've not watched him over the last couple of years, so whether he's improved on that or not, I'm not sure. Whether I'd like take that risk to say I'd take him over Deulofeu right now, then I'd probably go yeah, just like Jack says, just on based on how much we need a left back. But I do like the sound of bringing De La Feu in. He's a really exciting. He is inconsistent, like Anderson, but when he's on his game, he can really hurt teams. And like Adam says, he's quite versatile in those attacking positions. But if we could bring both in, that'd be great. But I'd like to think we could get a better left back in than Lukaku anyway. But out of the four, I'd probably opt for Lukaku just based on the need of the position.
I've got a great affiliation with Jordan Lukaku ever since going back to the first sort of lockdown podcast we did where Adam and I played FIFA, and I think I scored an amazing goal with Lukaku. So as much as I'd want to say just for that, I think because I've watched him a bit, and he, like, as you say, he's very of the Masuaku mould, and I just sort of see he's a bit too similar to sort of go for. So I'd rather get De La Feu, who would be brilliant in that left wing role and would be a great Dean Garner replacement, and hope that we were able to get a better left back. Because I think the quality De La Feu can offer to left wing compared to the quality Lukaku could offer to left back is a far, far more. So my choice would be De La Feu. So is that two for Lukaku, two for De La Feu again?
Yeah. Just convinced me to change to De La Feu, so it's 3-1.
All right, so we'll go with De La Feu. Well, 45.7% of people say Jordan Lukaku as left back. I think the fact it says left back is the winger, the winner there. Because in my head, he's like a left wing back, left winger, more so than like the traditional sort of left back. I think we'd do better with sign like a James Tompkins when he was at right back, but for left back, someone that's just a defender. De La Feu got 28.8%. Johnny Evans got 23.2%. And Fernando Llorente got 2.2%. I think I've been put off by his age.
What you were saying about Tompkins going at right back? You think we could probably Bonner's played left back, hasn't he? Could probably stick on Bonner there.
This is a thought I had the other day when I saw the Tarkowski rumours.
Yeah,
I was seeing 30 million for a centre back at the moment is huge, huge amount of money for us at the moment. And all of a sudden, a load of left-back rumours sort of just died off. Like, Rico Henry's just vanished.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know the Ukrainian, I know Adam asked me to pronounce his name earlier, and I've already forgotten it, sort of, like, is there. But you've got the right-back from Japan, Tomiyasu. But, like, there's so little sort of attempted movement with left-back at the moment, it seems. And I almost had the thought of, like, and David Moyes sort of had that whole, I'm going to invent the defence, and maybe one of the things he's going to try to do is Ogbonna at left back.
The only problem with that though is we would essentially be losing our best centre back, wouldn't we? So,
yeah,
but if the argument is Ogbonna and you get Tarkowski as the
replacing, I mean, long term, I wouldn't really want Ogbonna playing left back because
I think he's lost his pace that he used to have, where he could have been a reliable left back. I think he's great at that left centre back because he can cover when he has to, which is a lot at the moment. But to be that out and out left back, I don't think he's got the pace to do it anymore. Especially as even if we were wanting that defensive left back, we still need a left back to sort of push up every now and again and cross a ball. And I don't think Ogbonna is that man. I mean, he's Italian; he's got plenty of pedigree and his like footballing ability, but I don't think he's quite got that like whipped cross as Cresswell used to have, or the pace Masuaku has to get in behind. But I don't know. I just had that random thought the other day of like, is he going to try this? Because that could be something that would have been brilliant 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
But maybe not so now.
For West Ham fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. For match highlights, interviews and the best West Ham videos and podcasts. Download the free COY Irons app now from the App Store and Google Play.
Anyway, I think we'll do our last Hammers Polls question before we take a quick break and move on. So the last one is from at Billy Joel Astrid. As a fan, what would you want David Moyes to do? I think this is in reference to the Dean Garner situation, the sort of rumours about David Moyes potentially walking from the club. So one option is walk out and protest. Stay and say nothing, stay and speak out, or throw down his tools. I don't really know the difference between that one and staying and speaking out? Or is he just going to be like, I'm not leaving, but you've got to sack me kind of thing? So, Adam, I'll come to you first.
I guess stay and say nothing. I don't know. Like, him leaving is going to screw the team over. Him talking is going to create more of a circus, pardon the word choice there, around the club anyways. I think you had Noble speak out, which is 10 times more impactful than Moyes, because Moyes is here for a job. Noble's here for life. So I think that's the biggest player we could have had, or biggest person we could have had, come out and say anything. So I do think that the damage or the movements already happened. I don't think Moyes is going to change the world or the board if he speaks out. He may just lose his job, which is probably going to happen anyways by the end of October, judging by our fixtures. So I think, yeah, just do your job. Focus on. I'd rather him just focus on get like the players that we have, getting them ready, getting the defense tidy, doing whatever he's got to do in that sense. But yeah, just don't say anything. I don't think he has anything revolutionary to share with anyone else.
Yeah, Lou, what about you? I don't know why I keep saying it like that. I just keep doing this rhyme, Lou, what about you? But yeah, what do you think Moyes should do?
Yeah, I agree with Adam, really. I think at the moment we just need some form of stability within the club. And Moyes coming out speaking against the board, especially, I know it's only been a week, but we've got a game coming up. It has been a week now. It's, in a sense, we need to put the ding on a transfer behind us. Just for now, anyway. Not in the grand scheme of things, but for now. And I think he just needs to focus on the game on Saturday and the fixtures ahead, and do his job as a manager and not be a spokesperson for the club and the fan base. Yeah.
And Jack?
I'm going to have to agree with what Henry and what Adam and Lou have both said, really. Like, it's not really, obviously it's not ideal that he's done it at all, but it would create more tension than we need, especially before a game. So it's probably the more sensible thing to do, to just not say anything.
Yeah, I think I agree. Sort of just get on with your job. If they've gone behind your back and done it, of course it's going to be annoying. But I think the position David Moyes in is quite a unique one in terms of the fact. I don't think there's a lot waiting for him if he does leave West Ham, especially in that sort of way. Although there was a small part of me that did very much enjoy that sort of text message that went around Twitter the other day suggesting Karen Brady shouted, "You're sacked," at him after they had a whole fight and half the club were at war and Mark Noble putting in tackles on probably half Mazaraka and laughing at him. It's ridiculous stuff, and it sounded like civil war had broken out at the club.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as I read that, I was like, that's just ridiculous. Some of the people that were believing, I was like, really? I know West Ham is like great for stories and interesting stuff happening and just chaos, but even that is going too far. But in terms of Dave Moore, I mean, there's a small part of me that would love it if he did just like completely leave the club and just be like, "Oh, I'm had it with this," and just went on TalkSport and went, "Oh, you won't believe the stuff that happens here and everything." But no, I think I've got to agree with everyone. I think in terms of, as a fan of the club, I think it's best him stay, because I mean, I don't know what else we would do if Moyes was to leave, and just focus on the team, focus on what he can control, and try and get West Ham to the best position as possible with a tough run of fixtures coming up. So let's just have a check and see what everyone else says. So we were saying stay and say nothing, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So 25.9% of people said walk out and protest. Only 6.3% of people said stay and say nothing. 66.4% of people said stay and speak out, which I think is almost the same as walking out in protest, because he won't be walking, he'll be pushed. And 1.4% of people said throw his tools down. So very sort of, I think a lot of people are very emotive when they're answering that. Like, we just want the carnage to happen so the board are in no position but to, other than to sell. So yeah, that'll be the end of the first part of the podcast. We'll be right back. That was really good. Oh, we went for a while.
Yeah.
That was good. I had to move around there. My legs went to sleep. Just sit on them. Because I don't have like a chair, I only have like a bench.
He's gonna drink.
By the way, since I don't know if you guys saw me just rapidly reading in the background here, Spencer FC and Secret Agent took a shot at X in their little recording. So X decided to open up his DMs and
I think the guy in the clip just said like that every club has his like in the nose, and like obviously cited X West Ham employee as one. He was like, they all have their sources, I have mine, kind of thing. So it wasn't but as much.
There's another clip.
It wasn't as much of a dig, rather more. He has his sources, I've got mine. Like it's a differing opinion.
I think there was a different part of the clip that came out because he just tweeted, I think I said some things in my stream earlier about ex West Ham employee's motives, which were off the mark, and I apologize. Have followed him for many years, and we've cleared the air. His insights are usually very accurate. He remains the top source for specifically West Ham stuff. And because X basically said, if they want to play this game, I'll expose who Secret Agent is right now because I know who it is.
Or do you reckon he just said, you got to say who you are, or else I'll expose you? But I guess probably the Secret Agent guy could probably do the exact same back to X.
Spence, yeah, although if you follow Bianca Westwood, you've seen X before many times. So.
Oh, really? He messaged me the other day, X. I did, I can't remember the transfer story I was doing, but X messaged me being like, oh, when you like use my information, can you like quote me? I'd like put a link to his Twitter, but also like with fan-sided, like you have to use like verified sources and stuff. So it's always a bit of that like weird middle ground. He said he's got the same with like Sky Sports and everything of like people using his stuff, but not citing him. I was just like, oh my God, like he messaged me, like, oh, hi, Henry. And I had to message about like, hi, X. I don't know your names. But yeah, I was just like, I was literally just sat watching the TV and my girlfriend was next to me, and my phone went off and she was like, isn't that the guy you're always talking about that's like knows everything? I was like, yeah, I don't know what to do. I thought I'd be able to get in trouble. But yeah, so part two, we'll do Tarkowski and owners, and then we'll finish with the Newcastle stuff.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Green Street Hammers podcast. In the first part, we covered some Hammers polls questions. Now we're going to talk about probably the most relevant transfer rumour at the moment, which is James Tarkowski, the Burnley defender, 27, 26 years old, very sort of established, has an England international cap, at least one or two, I think. But I think he'd be a very solid defender for West Ham. But I think at the moment, the price that's being offered is £30 million, which would make him our most expensive defender of all time. And I think our third highest ever transfer fee. So Jack, you're nodding a lot, so I'll come to you first. Like, do you think Tarkowski would be good value for money?
Yes, I think he would be, to be fair, because I think we do desperately need to improve the defence. But like overall, I'd say yes. But at the moment, I wouldn't say so, because 30 million for one player, given our situation, is quite a lot of money, considering we need another left back, another right back, and potentially a left winger to replace Dean Garner. You might think, like, if we do sign Tarkowski, that could quite possibly be all the money gone. So it's a bit of a win-lose situation, really, I think. But I'd love Tarkowski, really. He'd really improve our back line and bring some much-needed leadership, I think.
Yeah, I think he'd be like a very solid centre-back. There's no sort of arguing that. So, Lou, I saw on Twitter, well, actually saw something slightly different. I saw someone say, why are we spending £30 million plus pounds on Tarkowski when we could sign Rico Henry, Tomiyasu, and Adam's going to say the Ukrainian player's name right now.
Oh, you must be talking about Mykola Matviyenko.
Yeah, Mykola Matviyenko. Do you think you'd rather have the three or Tarkowski?
It's difficult to say because I've only ever really watched... Who was the second one, sorry?
Tomiyasu. Rico Henry, Tomiyasu and...
Yeah. I've only really seen any of Rico Henry out of the three, so it's difficult for me to say whether I would want the three in
for more depth and arguably less quality than Tarkowski would bring. But I have been calling for Rico Henley, as I know a lot of people have, for quite a while. But I think by the sounds of it, it's off the cards at the minute. I don't think Brentford are willing to sell for less than a decent price. And I do like Tarkowski, to be honest. I think people have questioned whether he looks so good because he is in Burnley's and Dyke's traditional system, which arguably gets the best out of defenders. But I think overall, as a defender, he has the quality, and I think he could move on to a more progressive system and still stand out, based on what I've seen anyway. I think he's good on the ball. I think he's got a decent amount of pace. He's not the fastest in the world. But he's got a decent amount of pace. But I think his reading of the game is very good as well as the traditional defending qualities, such as, you know, blocking, clearances, heading away. So I really would like Tarkowski, but like you say, the price. I didn't expect us to go out and, you know, be splashing out that kind of money on one player. So just based on the fact that I've seen a lot of Tarkowski and I've only seen Henry and not really any of the other two, I'd possibly go for Tarkowski, but it would be nice to get some depth in the defensive positions anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I think he'd be a very solid centre-back to have. Of course he would. Like, look at what he does at Burnley. Of course they've got a system built around that, but he's a fantastic centre-back and he's very sort of that West Ham mould of like an English centre-back. I think fans would sort of really embrace him. But like Adam, like, do you think he is what the club need to be spending this amount of money on? Like, the fact it's £30 million, which would make him the third most expensive defender, well, the third most expensive player in West Ham's history. And he's not young. He's 26, 27. So he's in the prime of his sort of career. Obviously, I know defenders can go on longer, so he could have 6 years left. But with £30 million, which of a summer where we've struggled to spend money or even put offers for players like, you know, Eze, he's gone to Crystal Palace from QPR because we couldn't afford the £20 million. Like, the Dean Garner 18 million must have been crucial because we must have only had 12 million to not even be able to offer for Eze. Do you think it's sort of the right thing for the club to do?
I think, yes, it is. I'm not entirely sold on it, but the behind the scenes economics may make more sense. And I don't know if you guys read the report as well, that there's a sell on fee of like 7.5% or something like that to Brentford, yeah, which could then loosen them up to sell Henry. So I think you could see sort of that domino effect happen afterwards with the sale. Also, there's been no links to Henry to any other team, as far as I know. There hasn't really even been links to West Ham. Everyone just wants him to come because we've been watching Ollie Watkins and Benrahma all season. But I think we could start to see that heat up a bit. He's English, he's young, so Henry makes sense. But Tarkowski, yeah, he's not, you know, 24 years old, but he's 20 or 21 or 22, whatever. But he's 26, and like you said, Henry, he's a center back. So generally speaking, having less, having to like run less and whatnot, should preserve him for a while. Ogbonna's 32. He's playing the best football of his West Ham career, arguably, in last season and hopefully coming into this year. So who knows about, you know, where his signing would fit in. 30 million is a lot, and I do get the impression that everyone's under the or everyone thinks that West Ham should spread that money out. But I did a little digging on Matviyenko today, and Arsenal were linked with him in January, so much so that I googled his name, and Arsenal fans HD made a YouTube video in January saying who will sign Tarkowski, Matviyenko, or Tomiyasu if there's any legitimate links to the other two. I don't think in any scenario we get all three of those players, or if you mix in Henry, I don't think we'll get all four or anything like that. So Well, I think that would be a solid revamp of the defense. I do think Tarkowski, you know what you're getting with him. Sure, you may have to pay a premium because he's coming from Burnley. But I think there is a difference there between him and someone that's unproven in the Prem. I wanted to ask you guys as well. The biggest hang up with him right now is that he, quote, doesn't want to come to West Ham. But the only report I've seen is that he didn't like living in Brentford when he used to play for them. So I think people are making a pretty big jump. And he said basically he enjoys like family life up north or up more north in England. So have you guys heard anything about him saying he doesn't want to play at West Ham? Because the two reports are conflicting. Like he doesn't want to come to London. He doesn't want to play for West Ham versus if West Ham offer enough money, he's going to come down to London. So is it a cash thing? Is it just people trying to connect dots that are there? What do you guys think?
I think there's sort of a strong part of the fact that if you're Tarkowski, a lot of it is probably I'll say anything to get a bit more money on my contract, of course. There's also a very big difference between living in Brentford and where I think most West Ham players live, with Surrey and Essex. Very, very different sort of lifestyles. But also, I think it's such a rogue transfer rumour that's really come out of nowhere. I do think he wants to leave Burnley. Because I think at the start of the window, I thought the Burnley back line, they're staying put because they're in such a solid system and it all suits them. The only way Benmi, Tarkowski and the other, and I think Charlie Taylor and I can't remember their right back or their left back, would leave would be to like a top six side. Like Tarkowski go to Arsenal because I think he'd be a great signing for Arsenal. He's very sort of that Tony Adams sort of mould. So I do think there is sort of something in him wanting to leave and the fact that we're the ones going for him, because I think there might be something that is pushing him to leave. I see the whole England one, like him wanting to progress his international career, and signing for West Ham seems to help with that a bit compared to being at Burnley, which I'm not sure about because Pope got a call up, Heaton got a call up, whereas only Declan Rice really in recent years has had a call up other than Antonio, but he never got his cap. And Cresswell, I don't even know how long that was when he made his debut. But if we are more attractive simply because we're in London, it's easier for Southgate to get to watch games, then of course, and we could help him in that way, then I don't see why he wouldn't want to leave. I'm sure he's got in his own head that living in Brentford is different to where he'll be living if he has to play for West Ham. And at the end of the day, the way football is going, the money they're earning, it's not hard for him to like commute to Rush Green, really. The amount he'd probably be paid as one of our higher earners with £80,000+ a week, he'd get a helicopter from his house in Burnley to Rush Green and just sort of arrive in style. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Just a quick point here on the whole Tarkowski setup here. Get French Football News. I don't know how reliable they are tweeting out that Leicester have bid 29 million euros for St. Etienne defender Wesley Fofana, who wants to come to the club. Leicester were West Ham's only competition, as far as I know, to signing Tarkowski. And as well, Juancar Navasarada of he covers Getafe in La Liga, is reporting that Leicester and West Ham are interested in Dejene Dakonam. I think he's from Togo, a pretty solid center back as far as I know from my limited experience. But I think I just want to throw this in there because I think having no competition to sign Tarkowski and having other options could make Burnley realize we accept the next bid that comes in if we want to cash in on him, because 27, 28, 29, less years on the contract, maybe another injury pops up for him. Something could affect it where they may need to cash in now. I just wanted to throw that out there just so we're up to date on him there.
They won't get the money we're offering for him again unless something mental happens this season. He becomes like better than Van Dijk. But yeah, what were you guys sort of thinking about Tarkowski and if he would move to West Ham or not?
Do you want to go first?
Oh yeah, go on then. I think that, as you were saying, there's a big difference between Brentford and living nearer to Rush Green and everything. And I don't think these rumours would still be here if he didn't want to come. And I don't think we would have bid twice, potentially three times, if he wasn't interested at all. So I think that he probably does want to come. I think it might just be like the press and all of that. And I think the Mail have reported, I think Jacob Steensberg, is that his name? I think he's been pretty reliable throughout all of this and got most of the stuff right. And he's said that David Moyes has been encouraged by the talks he's had with him. And so I don't think if he didn't want to come that we'd still be in for him. So I think he definitely is interested in the move.
Yeah. Me?
Yeah, just... I mean, it's quite disappointing. It's not disappointing, but because it's the reality of the situation that the only reason why he would come is because of his own career and to advance his own career rather than because we're an attractive, you know, proposition for players right now. But that, like I say, that is a reality of the situation. And I'm sure once he did arrive, if that were to happen, then I'm sure he'd put his 100% into the club and all into the club, whether that be because he wants to get in the England team or not. If he did put his all in and display the kind of player that he's been, you know, shown for Burnley over the past few years, then we'll sure have an asset on our hands and he'll definitely improve our defence. And if he manages to, you know, help us keep a few clean sheets and improve our defence to the point where we finish higher than we did last season, and ultimately we don't go down, because at the minute where we are, we look like one of the potential relegation candidates. And I think it'll be money well spent overall to basically, you know, keep us in the Premier League.
Yeah. Does that answer your question, Adam?
It does, yeah. Just another, as we're doing transfers here, another update. Looks like Aston Villa are going to sign Martinez, a keeper from Arsenal. So another 15 million is the rumored fee, so not cheap. But he showed off he can play last season, right?
I'm surprised.
I think that's a good deal. I'm surprised Arsenal let him go.
Yeah.
They didn't pay big for Leno.
Staying as number one, but based off how well he did, but he must be expecting Leno to come back. So.
Yeah. Well, I think he said he didn't want to be there if he wasn't going to be number one.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough. I think Aston Villa is quite a big drop for him. I can think of a few clubs where he could have got to, instead of maybe a bit higher up in the league. Like Southampton, I think they could do with a new goalkeeper, and they'll probably be battling for top 10 this season. But yeah, I think that's enough on transfers. Before, I think we've got enough out of the very little transfer news that there is at the moment. But obviously one of the biggest things that keeps coming up and coming up and coming up is takeover rumours. And we're now going to sort of try go into a metaphorical situation. If a takeover did happen, regardless of who it was, what could they do to win fans like back? I don't think they need to do a lot to win fans over other than buy the club. But what can they do to sort of improve life as a West Ham fan, really? Jack, what's like the couple of things you'd like to see sort of change if a new owner was to come in?
Oh, where do I begin? Obviously, I'd like to see a lot of investment in the squad, really, but like in the right ways. So, like, obviously, Everton, they have a lot of money and they've got quite a wealthy owner, but they splashed money, like, and it was wasted quite a lot. But now that they've got the right manager, it seems like they're investing it well. So I'd obviously love to see us do that. Another bit of a tall order, but I'd love us to have a proper stadium, really. Not sure how realistic that is at all, but if not a new stadium, a lot of changes to our current stadium to make it feel more like home.
I think when Manchester City got taken over, they actually had a running track, and they turned the Etihad into a relatively good stadium. So
it is
possible to do that with the London Stadium rather than have, like, knock it down and build an entirely new thing. Anything else? Or should we pass on before you go through?
No, we'll pass on.
A lot of content for everyone to get stuck into here.
Yeah.
Lou, what about you?
Yeah, I think obviously what Jack said, but also as well as the stadium, the training ground, training ground facilities. Obviously, everyone knows how documented, how you know, substandard, to put it nicely, that the training ground facilities are. And it must have some effect on the squad and team. Just overall, going into matches week upon week, training on such bad facilities and bad pitches in comparison to, you know, you look down the road at Tottenham. I know they're a bigger club at the moment, but you see the difference in, you know, facilities, and it's absolutely night and day. So I'd like to see them put a lot of investment into that, whether they move the training facilities or just revamp it completely. And I think I know players don't get attracted to training facilities, but I think it would.
I think it counts a lot more than people
understand. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just that manager, I remember when Pellegrini came in, he spoke about how below par the training facilities was, and obviously he's managed at such giant clubs, Real Madrid, Man City, obviously, and so he's seen the elite and what clubs can do, and then he got a massive reality check when he came in. So
I think one of my friend's dads, he's like a farmer down in Sussex, and he did a lot of like the turfing for the new Brighton sort of training ground. And he was there on the same day. I think, I can't remember the name of the player. I think it's like Teixeira, Benfica, young midfielder. And he was being chased by loads and loads of clubs. And he ended up going on Brighton to loan, I think, when they were still in the Championship. But one of the reasons he cited was because of the training facilities they had there. Like this young kid being chased by da 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 da, whoever you are. And go, no, I want to go to Brighton because, like, I feel there's where I'm actually going to be spending most of my time, and where I'm going to be training seems the best fit for me. So I think it's something that really needs to be changed, especially at West Ham. I mean, every time you see the photos of the porter cabins, I know it's not actually not at all important what it looks like. It's what's behind the wall and the equipment inside it, but it's still sort of pride.
First impressions.
Yeah, first impressions of turning up to that. Whereas I don't know if any of you have watched the Amazon Prime Tottenham, where they turn up to the training ground and it's just, or the pictures of the new Leicester one that they're building, it just looks incredible. Like, it looks like something that the Avengers would be training in.
I mean, we're supposed to be the 20th richest club in the world, and we've got porter cabins.
It must be so disappointing for like new signings coming in to see like the training facilities, and then you get to the porter cabins and go, oh, they'll be at the wrong place. Like, oh no, this is it.
I always enjoyed the comparisons to like year seven schools, temporary classrooms that stay there forever. Adam, what about you? What would you like to sort of see changed at the club?
You guys have checked off the major things there. I think I would just go for more infrastructure, like you guys have been suggesting, and say, like maybe 5 scouts to start, just as a minimum, send them out to the major leagues. But also get a director of football in, who's like a separate entity of the manager and the board, but works with both of them. So David Moyes says he wants young English players to build around that have a lot of speed or a lot of pace. So he, you know, and then can take player suggestions and builds up a list on that. Whereas we saw with Pellegrini and Husilios wasn't really a director of football. He was just a negotiator for Pellegrini. So Pellegrini would say, I want this player. Husilios would go do that instead of Pellegrini having to do anything. From the looks of it, or sounds of it from the outside, that's what it seemed like. So more infrastructure. And then it allows for, you know, Jack, you said you wanted more investment in the first team. It allows for better investment in the first team, right? You have these gems you're uncovering. Like Leicester or Brentford, for example, two great clubs with great directors of football, and who have changed managers, I think, in the past while. So just a little bit more emphasis on things behind the scenes, because even like you had said, Henry, it's not what the outside looks like. It's what's happening behind the walls with the training ground. It's a great metaphor for how football clubs run, right? It may not be sexy to say take a bunch of million pounds off and invest it in the training ground, like Pellegrini said, or to hire some scouts. To be honest, if they made X the scout for the championship, I would be completely happy, because we would have James Maddison, we would have Benrahma, we would have Ollie Watkins. Like, these are players we'd have on the team right now. So just a little more investment there.
He wouldn't have sold Dean Garner, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would have had Eze as well.
Yeah, Eze.
Team of nine attacking midfielders and the rest center backs.
If you've got that quality going forward, you don't need a defense.
No.
I think for me, and I think this is something, when I went and did a stadium tour, I took it really surprising. It's not something I sort of didn't realize wasn't spoken about enough. But so the box that Golden Sullivan are currently in, they actually own personally. It's not part of the stadium, it's not part of the club. They own it personally. And in there are, although not a lot, the trophies of West Ham United. On the stadium tour, you're not allowed to go into the box because it's personal property. So you can't see West Ham's 1980 FA Cup. You can't see the other trophies we have, which I think is almost like the most insulting thing I can think of, actually, for the board to do. Whether it's not investing in players, not investing in training ground, taking us and ripping down the old stadium, the last thing remaining of our history are these trophies, and to keep them away from fans who pay a lot of money to go see it, and the stadium tour is not cheap to do, and not to be able to see our silverware rather than have them actually displayed, like, because we only have so few, you can display it even more proudly of, like, look, we have won the FA Cup, we have won the famous Intertoto Cup, we have won our playoff finals when we've been in them. So that would be one for me, if a new person came in charge of the club, would be to build some sort of trophy room, or whether it's in the stadium or in the club store outside the stadium, or just somewhere to display our trophies. Because I still can't get my head around the fact they're hidden away and like sort of kept for Sullivan and Gold to enjoy, but not the fans that were here before and will be here after them. So that for me would definitely be something that would get me on side immediately, because I mean, I'm only 24, 25 next month. Like, I only seen West Ham win the Intertoto Cup when I was a child, and I was at the game when we won the playoff final, but an FA Cup, I'd love to see West Ham's FA Cup, but with the current ownership, I'm not going to be able to be allowed to see it unless I befriend our owners and get invited into their box.
Two points, just to back up here. If there's any like American or Canadian listeners, look at as far as training facilities, just Google Dallas Cowboys training facility. Whoever would beat up the Avengers would train there, Henry, if we want to do the comparison. Just for investment in the team there. But also, I live in Toronto. The Toronto Maple Leafs in like the last 5 or 6 years completely decided, we haven't won a championship since 1967. So they completely decided to break everything down, start over, rebranding and everything. And they really embraced the culture and the history of the club with so many players. And one of the big things they did was reminiscent of the Billy Bonds sort of reintroduction, is they embraced a player named Dave Keon, who had a huge rift with ownership at the time that was never repaired. They brought in a former player, Brendan Shanahan, to run as the president, run the club. And he sort of started repairing all of these relationships and brought the club, brought the team back to like a prominent place, at least off the ice. So everything you're saying, Henry, is a positive, and it helps people and supporters have like an identity with the team more than just struggling every single season.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Did you guys know that our trophies are like locked away in this private box?
No.
I did the stadium tour, and they just showed off that metal ring around the room. And then they were like, oh, yeah, it's in the shape of the trophies. I didn't know that they were there, but locked up.
Yeah, I can't remember the guy's name that sort of took us around. I think he's probably the same one that's done every single tour. But we got to the box, and he showed us, like, oh, this is the doorway. It's like the Queen Elizabeth box, I think it's called. I was like, oh, but as we were there, I was like, oh, where do they display, like, the trophies for the fans? Like, do you get to see them on the tour? And he was like, oh, no, they're actually in there, and it's private property, so we can't go in and actually see them. And I think he even looked at me like, that's not right. And
it's a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah, I just found it, I was just a bit speechless about it. It was just like, I can't imagine many other football clubs you go into and you not be able to see the trophies that they've won.
It's like they won them or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's that sort of personal, we've got them kind of thing. Mm. Even though they weren't the owners when we won them, bar the playoff final, they can have that one if they want to have it as a private thing, even though it should still belong to the club. I mean, it just sort of goes back to the whole, the Bowden Garden that was sort of left to just get trashed, really, when we left Upton Park, and they had to go do an apology that they've left it and then revitalise it all. The fact that the gates were sort of taken as well with them, but then they weren't displayed immediately, and then they were put up in the shop after pressure. So it's just a lot of things like that I'd like to see re-given back to the fans, of like, we are going to have that statue that we said we were going to do. We are going to move that statue. We're not just going to leave it behind. We're going to put our trophies on display. We're going to help out with the previous businesses that we left behind at Upton Park, because the Tottenham ground, like, they've stayed and they keep giving back to the community, whereas our move seems to have just left that behind. I know some people say there's been some support, but I'd be very, very surprised to see if it's still ongoing. So I'd like to see a new owner sort of take that sort of, the ownership of Leicester. They do so much for the community that I think they've even built a hospital. I'd love to see an owner come in and do something like that. But yeah, so hopefully if any potential investors are listening, you know what to do. But yeah, we'll be right back for the final part of the Green Street Hammers YouTube podcast. We will be previewing the season opener against Newcastle United. Welcome back to the Green Street Hammers YouTube podcast. We've already just spoken about some Hammers polls questions, and we've done the Tarkowski rumours. And if any new owners are listening, we've given you some good ideas. Now, the Premier League is starting and returning. Something for us all to look forward to, I'm sure, after an exciting summer of very little positive transfer activity. Adam's going to sort of take the reins here as our sort of match go-to guy for the moment.
I love it. And it's going to be more conversational, because there's not much to really predict here. Well, I mean, there's predictions to predict, I guess. But when it comes to Newcastle, I think Newcastle and West Ham are kind of parallel in a lot of ways. Teams with good history, Newcastle better history when it comes to the league itself, but both teams have owners that they don't really love. That being said, Mike Ashley is now fighting the Premier League because he wants the takeover to happen, is investing a solid amount of money into his team to improve the starting 11, and is not stopping the second one because the first one didn't happen. So there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Newcastle fan specifically, but as far as West Ham's concerned, they're almost trending in a different direction. So we should start with the three new signings: Ryan Fraser on a free, Callum Wilson, our beloved Callum Wilson, for 20 million, and it was Jamal Lewis, the left back, for
Norwich.
15 million, 12 to 15 million, something like that. So three strong signings. And actually, did you guys see the video clip of Andy Carroll having dinner with Fraser and Richie and Wilson?
Yeah.
I haven't seen the clip.
It's great. It's Kate Carroll basically says, Richie to Bournemouth? No, we're bringing Bournemouth to Richie. And they all start laughing because, I mean, it's a huge swing there. So ironically, it's two of Bournemouth's best players stepping into the Newcastle starting 11. Almiron won't have to play the left wing anymore. He'll probably play more centrally. Joelinton gets rotation, as well as Carroll at striker. And then Lewis steps in as their left back, because last year they had Jetro Williams on loan and Danny Rose on loan, I believe. And then they still had injuries, so they were throwing players in their left, right, and center. Lou, I'll come to you to start with, and then Jack and Henry, you guys can fight it out afterwards. Which of those three players do you think will have the biggest impact against West Ham come the weekend?
I think historically you can't really look past Callum Wilson, can you? I think it's 7 in 8 games against us. And
yeah,
he made a quip the other day about, you know, being looking forward to facing us, as, you know, he's fully aware of his record against us. So it is quite frightening prospect, not because he's an amazing player, just because we have these kind of voodoos against us, and Callum Wilson's one of them. Fraser, I think I read that he's not likely to start anyway, because obviously with him missing the end of Bournemouth's season, he's he's not played in a long, long time. So if he makes a sub appearance, then I think that'll be at most. And Lewis, I wish we were in for him. I don't know really why we weren't. But obviously he's gone to Newcastle now, so I think he'll make a big difference to the left-hand side. I know he's highly rated. I know Norwich fans were highly rated him. And I think overall the three very good signings will improve the first team eventually, if not straight away. And I'm quite jealous of the moves they're making, but I think Wilson is always going to be a threat against us, and I just hope we can somehow contain him because he's fast, he's a good finisher, and you know, it's his debut, so he could be well due a goal.
It'd be a real shame if Ogbonna sent a knee directly into his leg or something like that. That would be never wish injury on anyone, but geez, that would be terrible.
Yeah, I think I saw the clip where he was being interviewed. I think it was by Sky, and the guy was like, "Oh, so you're looking forward to the start of the season?" And it was Wilson that brought. I was like, "Oh yeah, we're playing West Ham." Like he, as you were saying, like he's fully aware of it. I think I would be surprised if there was an offer from us for him at Newcastle, and he went, "Well, if I take the West Ham one, I can't play against them." Yeah. I think, in my opinion, in terms of the. I think Lou sort of got it bang on, just the fact Wilson's got that record against us, and it's hard to see him not adding to it. But I think I'm more worried about their existing players of Almiron and Saint-Maximin than actually any of their new signings. Like, I think Fraser's unlikely to play, as Lou said, because he's not match fit. Callum Wilson, he's only just joined. It's a lot. You got to do to like get used to a new team and a new system, especially going from Bournemouth to Newcastle, huge lifestyle change. And Jamal Lewis, I think we did fairly well against him last season. We put 6 goals past Norwich. So I'm not too worried about him hurting us too badly. So I think it's more the existing players, and if they hit the ground running and the way they ended last season, especially Saint-Maximin and Almiron, like Almiron scored against us in the last game. So I think that's where I'm more worried about. And I think Jonjo Shelvey might be fit for the game after he had a bit of a knock. And he always finds a way of scoring a goal against us, whether or not it's Newcastle or...
Worldies or insane assists from him, eh?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why we keep getting linked to buy him. It's just the fact that he can't do it against us. But yeah, like Jack, you take the rein.
Yeah, I think you've all said what I'm going to say, really. It's going to be... It's just written in the stars that Callum Wilson scores against us on the opening day. Like, we all know it's going to happen. I really don't like that little touch of magic comment. Not a fan. I think we all know that he's going to come back and bite us yet again.
It's almost not fair. It's hard for a left back to really impact a team, especially when we're kind of thinking like Callum Wilson's going to score goals. And I guess as a left back, you could shut down Jared Bowen, but I don't like his odds of doing that. Even seeing at the end of the season last year, Bowen was insane, and Norwich went out without a fight, I guess you could say. So yeah, I think we're all in the same agreement here. Although Ryan Fraser, he didn't even play for the second half of last season, and he has the third highest assists in the last 2 years in the Premier League. So I mean,
the season before, he created an insane amount and then dropped off last season because he knew it was like the last year of his contract and he wanted to move.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the numbers are sort of carrying over from 2017-18.
Yeah.
But even still, I can see him coming off the bench in the 70-something minute, whips in a cross, Andy Carroll's fresh on, boom, right into the back of the net. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be Callum Wilson.
Carroll's had a good preseason as well.
Yeah. I mean, how West Ham is it for Andy Carroll to be doing keepy-uppies in the box and spin around and bang a volley into the back of the net? So, yeah, we can't catch a break even with players that aren't on our team anymore, it seems. Let's move on to West Ham's side of things here. Now, I want to see how many goals you guys think West Ham are going to score, because in the preseason it wasn't really an issue. Even against Bournemouth, we managed to put 3 by them. I want you to tell me if you think we're going to be playing with an attacking force of three midfielders and one striker, or two wide midfielders and two strikers. So basically a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-4-2, and who you think will get in the goals for West Ham. I'll start here and lubricate things. I think we're going to see Sebastian Allaire jam down our throats as much as possible to try and get him going, especially before the tougher fixtures start. So I think we're going to go 4-4-2, Antonio and Allaire. And then on the left side, I think we'll probably see Fornals over Felipe Anderson, and then Jared Bowen on the right. I think West Ham are going to be lucky to score two goals. They have really tall center backs, Kieran Clark, Fernandez. They may not be Lejeune, Lascelles, all of them. They may not be the most talented group, like world-class group, if you will, but they know how to do their job well, and they clog up the air really well. So I'll say two for West Ham, and I think Antonio and Bowen will get on the score sheet there. Jack, let's come to you. What do you think? What's the formation, and who's scoring?
Well, I think Haller will be played up front alone, as per usual, really. So I think we can expect that. I think probably 2-1 to us, I think, because it's really important that we get the point, that we win this game, really. If you look at our fixtures after that, you've got to think, how many are we going to get? We have to get them then. So I'm going to be hopeful and say that I think we'll win 2-1. I think Suchek and Haller to get the goals for us. And obviously Callum Wilson's going to get his customary goal for them.
So you think Suchek will play? I agree with you that I think he'll play, but there's not much of a choice, is there?
No. I think so. We need him. Like, if he's not ready to play, I think he'll probably get played anyway. I'm not going to be honest, really.
Both sides of the ball, he's such an impact. Henry, what do you think? Score, formation, what do you got?
Oh, I just don't like it when we play a 4-4-2. I just don't get excited about it. I think it's probably best for Haller to be played up top of Antonio, and you can only really do a 4-4-2 to do that, because we don't have the players to do anything other exciting than like a 3-4-1-2 or however many players that is, but like a five at the back, then three, and then two. I'd like to see us for the first game go with like our strongest, best possible team, which I think is Fabianski, Mazuaku at left back. I think he's got one over Cresswell from pre-season. It's not the best, but I think it's better.
He's not English at all.
Ogbonna, Diop, has to be. Ryan Fredericks at right back. I think he's probably still got the edge over Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson, in his pre-season game against Bournemouth, didn't really leave a lot to be desired.
I stand with Ben Johnson's protest.
Yeah, being dragged from 20 minutes, but because of that, you got to give it to Fredericks. Like, if Johnson's still feeling aggrieved, you can't risk playing him until you sort out that issue. I agree. I'd like Suchek to play no matter what condition he's in, really, because he's that good and that important for us. But I can see him being that second half substitute, and I think we'll probably start with Rice and Noble as the holding midfield, which I think, like, it's not the worst in the world. It just depends how Noble's feeling that day, really, and if Rice has sort of got what he needed to get out of the England games to go back to where he was last season for us. I think we'll have, like, obviously the three behind the strike, and I'd like to see Anderson, Fornals, Bowen as that three at the moment, and Antonio as the striker, and have Haller for the second half when everyone's a bit tired and he can be that battering ram. Not that he has shown that he can do that role. He's come on in the second half. I always think back to the Burnley game and after the restart where everyone thought, oh, here comes Haller, he's going to bully everyone who's tired. And then the first thing didn't go in for him, and he sort of just moped around for the rest of it. But I think Anderson, he's shown quality in pre-season. He's got a great goal from the corner against Bournemouth. I think Fornals, he needs a good go at that 10 role, because I think that's his best position. And Lanzini, I think he's just missing out at the moment. Like, I'll always want it to work for Lanzini. I think every West Ham fan will, because I think he's given so much to the club. And I think a lot of the criticism he gets at the moment is not unjust, but like forgetting what he has done for the club. And Jaron Bowen's, like, he's got the right wing spot for ever. really, in terms of my mind. The amount I was pushing for us to sign him before we did, he can have that, and I will name the East Stand after him. But yeah, I think that's how we'll line up. I think I enjoyed how you said how tall Newcastle were, Bowen would score. Adam, the short...
He's too quick on the break. On the break, that's where we'll come in.
I think my score prediction, I would love to be as optimistic as you guys, but I don't see us winning. I think we'll be good to get out with a draw. I think my prediction is 1-1 or 2-2. I think it'll probably be 2-2, very similar to the game at St. James' Park last season, which I don't think it's not a bad point, Newcastle. And I'll probably, I think Declan Rice is going to get an early season goal out of nowhere. And Jared Bowen's going to carry on where he was from pre-season. And he's going to be the hero, as he was for that fan who bought the old shirt number and he replaced it and then made the entire club replace all of the old shirts, which I think is an absolute great move by him. But yeah, that's my predictions. 2-2, Rice and Bowen to score.
I like that. And but you did say depending on how Rice plays, and if we go and ask Leeds fans, Rice should just probably pack it in and retire because he doesn't have it anymore. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Lou, why don't you give us your score prediction and your formation and who you think is going to have the biggest impact on the score sheet?
Yeah, I know we've glossed over Souček, but even if he was only 80% fit, I'd definitely still play him, you know, be the impact that he brings to the team, like you said, both offensively and defensively. He's gelled well with Rice in such a short space of time, and I think that is certainly, you know, our best option going forward. And I always refer back to the Southampton game last season at home, where would, in my opinion, probably the, apart from his first game against Bournemouth, probably Moyes's, you know, best game over 90 minutes, a full 90 minutes. I think the front four finals, Bowen, Allaire and Antonio on that day, there wasn't really a set formation. It was kind of 4-4-2 sometimes and Antonio supporting. It was very free-flowing in attack. And I'd like to see that kind of performance again, but I'm not sure whether Moyes will risk going that attacking on the first game of the season. But I'd certainly have Souček and Rice in the middle. Like I say, I'd agree with Masuaku at left back, although I think he will opt for Cresswell because he seems to be his favourite out of the two. And I agree that I'd rather have Fredriksen at the minute based on, based solely on last week, to be honest. It might be a bit unfair to, you know, keep harping on about last week for Johnson, but he did look very, you know, immature in that game. Based on his, you know, his lunges and his early yellow card, that could have easily been a red card. But yeah, I'd like that 4-4-2 slash, you know, just free flowing. That can easily go into a 4-3-3 with Antonio on one wing, Bowen on the other, and Fanals, you know, kind of drifting in the middle with Souček and Rice behind them. As for the score, I wrote an article before saying it's a must win, so I think I'm going to have to go for a win. And I'll say, we're not going to keep a clean sheet, let's be honest. I'm just thinking about how many goals we'll score. I'll go 3-1, the same score as the Southampton game. I don't know why I keep referring to that game like it happens all the time. But it's only one of the good games from last season. So I'd like to see a repeat of that. 3-1, Bowen brace, and Souček as well. I can certainly see him popping up with a goal.
No one can ever suggest you're not thinking hard about this, especially with the video out now, Lou, because I thought we were going to see a fire break out between your ears there, thinking about what the score was going to be. But I like the positivity. 3 goals, 4, 1 against. That's only allowing 1 goal is almost more positive in thinking we're going to score three. So you're doubling down. I really appreciate that. But as far as the game is concerned, it's going to be a mental hurdle, I think, for West Ham to get over first, because there's been so much going on in and out of the actual first team and how the team's playing. So we'll see if they can forget about the Betway Cup, remember their better earlier games, and push on with that. I think what'll need to happen, and, you know, knock on wood, this is really relying on injuries, is that we need stability in the starting 11. We need that starting 11 to be the same. I mean, we'll say at the end of September, once the transfer window comes to an end, for a majority of games, so we know what to expect. The players know what to expect from each other. I think the upgrade at left back, should it come, will free up someone like Felipe Anderson, who's had to be covering back for so long. And I do agree with what you guys were all saying about Mazuaku playing over Cresswell. Cresswell, we know what he is, and it's not great. But we also know that Mazuaku is so much better than him in the attacking half. And while he may take more risks, and it drives me absolutely nuts that he tries to hold on the possession down the wing, and then someone will pass him the ball, and he'll just let it slip by him and go out. Drives me nuts. It happens at least once a game that he plays. But he can also sprint back and at least get back when he makes a mistake. We've seen Cresswell. You can watch him every single match. If possession gets turned over, he puts his head down and starts trotting back super slow. Whereas Mazuaku, because he usually turns over the ball, is thinking, I've got to get back and make up for my mistake. And he has the actual pace to do that. So I agree. There's a lot more upside with him. And you could potentially get one of those moments where, you know, that cross comes over the top to Arnautovic and he hits it on the volley, and, you know, it's a wonderful goal. So I think we're all there with the starting 11. Whether it's going to be an attacking midfielder or second striker, we'll see. But like Lou said, a team that is fluid with how they play can be a sort of a surprise and a shock to the opposition. So there's a lot to like with that as well. A couple things as we're recording right now. This has been the most action-packed time for West Ham Twitter in the last month. West Ham, coming off of X and Dave's podcast for the West Ham Way, all of the news outlets are picking it up now. They've finished their podcast feeds. Jack Wilshere is in talks to terminate his contract at West Ham. Likely would be a payout there from West Ham to get him off 100K a week. And there was another piece of West Ham news here that I've seemed to have lost. Where is it? Wilshere canceling his contract. Maybe that's it. Either way, it's all, I think that would be a positive, because it would open the line for Josh Cullen to get more time, who looked great against Bournemouth, as well as Connor Coventry, who's been nothing but a rock star in the academy and for Lincoln when he was away on loan. So, Henry, do you want to wrap things up here?
Yeah, happy to do so. I always do really well at this. I'm sure Lou will tell you from last week. but no, it's been really nice talking to you guys. Hopefully the season starts a lot exactly how you guys think it will be, and less so how I think it will be. Although if it's worse than what I think, then next week will be a lot of fun, I'm sure, as GSB out brigade will be very much full force, I'm sure, on Twitter, especially as the fact no one will be at the game to express their feelings there. But yeah, for this week at least, that's all from us at Green Street Hammers. Come on, you Irons!